You know Tim Minchin from performing his comedic songs all over the world. He's also an actor, a composer, a director, and he's very successfully adapted Matilda to a Broadway musical, which has been seen by nearly 10 million people all over the world. Last week, I got in touch with him by Zoom from my house to his house in Sydney, and the first question I asked him was, well, what was he that particular morning? Composer, director, actor? And he said...
This morning I was a hungover man. because last night was our music awards, the Arias, and I was presenting an award. And because it's all, even though Australia's in not a bad condition COVID-wise, relatively very good actually, it's still not a crowded awards night. But so it was more like just looking at a camera, but there was plenty of wine being fed to us backstage to keep us interested. So yeah, I was a headachey man this morning.
So next year you could be receiving an award for a part together.
Well, that's the theory.
I've just been listening to it. It's very honest. You lay yourself bare. All your foibles and insecurities. How do you feel listening back to it?
Oh, I feel all right. I mean, I guess you sort of travel through various moments of self. Well, as I say in the song, "If This Plane Goes Down," my life has always been a difficult balance between self-loathing and pride. I've been doing it for long enough that I can see some stuff a bit objectively. I understand that my songs are structurally well-written and lyrically, you know, unique, if nothing else. And yeah, there's a sort of through line of, if not honesty, because obviously craft comes before truth, at least it's a very honest, I'm addressing issues that pop music tends to dance around or pretend don't exist, like the fact that you're gonna die and the fact that, you know, love is complicated and requires discipline and all those things that people don't talk about. I'm really stoked with the sound of the album, which is to the credit of the producer, because all the stuff I put out there has been live recordings of my live gigs, which is great. I'm a live monster, but of course you don't get the benefit of the controlled studio environment in those things. So I love that I've got to put out a record that someone's taken a lot of care over how to produce my voice and how to orchestrate it and how to record the instruments and all that stuff.
That's all very well, Tim mentioned, but I'm going back to craft over truth.
Yeah, craft over truth.
You thought you'd slip that in there and it'd go unnoticed. So you talk about being tempted by other women. That great line, her vodka-soaked lips only taste of the absence of you.
Yeah.
And the you being Sarah, I suppose, your wife.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, I guess I mean by craft over truth. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely writing about the experience of being on tour and in New York. And when you're me and you're in New York, that when you know, we used to live in England, and when you go to New York, as I'm sure you've experienced, you're up all night because of the time difference. And when you're abroad, you've got a musical on Broadway, of course, you're quite
popular.
Your ego can get a little bit inflated, out of control, yes, right? Because Americans are so happy to just. Absolutely. There's none of this Irish irony. They're just like really kind and really nice and really complimentary. Whereas if the Irish like you, they just sort of tell you you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, everyone's fawning over you and you're up all night and, you know, drinking. And I've definitely been in a situation where I've gone, oh God, I'm, you know, there's truth in the story of a, you know, me kissing a girl or a girl kissing me and thinking, well, what am I doing this for? But it's...
So you married Sarah, who you met at university.
Yeah. I married my first girlfriend. I married the girl I lost my virginity to. Yes. It's so great to be on Irish radio and talking about temptation and virginity. It's like, of course, on Irish radio are going to be talking about Temptation and
but I'm fascinated so, because obviously Tim Minchin, who was in his late teens and early 20s, a lot has happened to you, Tim.
Yeah.
You know, you've had an amazingly worldwide hit with Matilda, you know, you which has probably made you comfortable for the rest of your life. You've no need to work, really. How many people have seen Matilda?
I don't know, but it's million. It's
10 million,
got a million on the end of it. It'll be a couple of million.
Yeah. So things have changed. So that must put its pressures on a relationship.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the really wonderful thing about my relationship. The sort of miracle of it is that Sarah and I got together when we were very young, and she had every expectation that I would be a poor musician because there was no, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't look like, you know, like I'm not very typical of someone who has a very good musical career, but she couldn't have been designed better to kind of handle what changed, as in... She didn't love her. She was a social worker, which she liked the bits of it that were helpful, but didn't really love all the administration and stuff. She wanted to have kids, and she's sort of egoless. She is one of the most egoless persons I know. So when things started taking off for me, there was no, what about me and what I want? She just went, oh, this is a grand adventure, and this will be how we pay the rent, because we were struggling to pay the rent when we were wanting to have kids in our late 20s. Mm. And she just and yet she's got this incredible balance where she's not cool around famous people and stuff. She actually she's quite shy and quite introverted, but equally she doesn't really care. Right. She's not going, oh, red carpet, I get a frock and, oh, they're going to take a photo of me and let's get some Botox. She sort of just doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't particularly interest her. Yeah. I go, well, Sarah, we've got this awards night tonight. You know, I'm up for 3 awards. And she's like, well, but that'll be boring, right? And I'm like, yeah, I suppose it will. You know, she's not
grounded. She's grounded.
Yeah, she's grounded. And I like to think I am too, but... Mm. It definitely, one of the things she's had to deal with is that I went from being a person no one was interested in to a person that some people were interested in, and traveling a lot around the world and being apart a lot. And you have to figure out what you're going to do with the inevitable results of that. So I, as a person who really likes women and likes a drink and has a fragile ego, so I get puffed up and feel good about myself. And, you know, I am obviously susceptible. I could be that guy. I could be the cheaty ass, you know. So I have to make a decision, right? And similarly, she could be really paranoid and jealous. And, of course, she could cheat and have an affair as well. So there's these choices to make, right? And no one writes about these things. But this is the very essence of love. Just like in my song Apart Together, I talk about the fact that love is about watching each other decay over time. These are the truths of it. So sure, we can write romantic pop songs, but I think it's my job to write the other ones, the missing ones, you know, ones about what it's really like.
Yeah, you say you said in an interview there that's it. When you sign up, when you commit to somebody, that the beauty is that you are going to watch each other die and decay. And
fall apart, I mean, it's brutal, right?
It is brutal, it is.
But there must be a beautiful way to tell that story. There is a beautiful way that a novelist would grab onto that and write something beautiful about it. Pop songwriters tend to go or leave that to the poets, you know. And I don't know, I guess that's where I see myself existing.
And there's sort of a two fingers to LA and Hollywood, because when you read the details of Larrikins, it's shocking. It's and we all know that there's millions and millions spent, but to think that 50 million was spent on a project that's been canned.
Yeah.
It's vulgar, isn't it?
It's vulgar, yeah. I mean, I guess money is just a pretend thing. That money was spent on employing artists for 4 years, and then it was used as a write-off against a you know, like it's all just shuffling it's kind of conceptual. It's not like burning money, but the loss of time. And if you want to go and work in Hollywood, you have to accept that it's a commercial thing.
I know, but you gave up.
But yeah, they don't get much worse. The stories don't get much worse.
No, you sacrificed an awful lot, didn't you?
Well, come on. I mean, I was getting paid. I had know, a really but, good but time. You, it's just, yeah, the things I could have been doing as someone who really likes making stuff, and I'm not being grand here. It's just, I really like making stuff, and I'm very, very lucky because beyond my wildest dreams, I've been able to make stuff and get paid and have a living and have a really great time. But the seed of it, the base of it, is I like making stuff. And so if I help make something for 4 years and some, you know, business transaction happens, that means that thing gets taken away. I mean, yeah, that wasn't good for my heart, you
ego
know? But yeah. You got to keep an eye on your perspective, right?
And you're back living in Australia. I would imagine delighted to be out of the country that Donald Trump was involved in.
Yeah, I didn't like that part of it, and I don't think most, you know, hell of a lot of Americans found it, you know, it's genuinely turned people into anxious messes watching that go down.
Happier things. Now, this could be wrong.
Yeah. Because
it was on your IMDb, but did your daughter celebrate her 14th birthday this week?
She did. I like it. And the amazing thing about Violet is it's not amazing. It's only amazing to bring the subject back to my career, but I wrote a song, a Christmas song, when she was 3 weeks old called White Wine in the Sun, which is about the experience of having a baby, your first child, you know, a long way away from home and feeling that pull home, which it took us 11 years to respond to.
Yeah.
But it's weird. This Christmas song I wrote, which every year gets more and more people listening to it, is sort of marked by her birthday. So, and it just blows my mind that 14 years has gone by since that moment.
We'll have to play it this year. And I know you're a busy man and your time has run out. So Apart Together is the first solo album of songs written by Tim Minchin about Tim Minchin, and it's very honest. and even the lyrics alone are worth just reading off a piece of paper.
It is an album, ironically, about my time running out.
You're only 45, you're only a young lad. Okay,
I know, but look at it go.
Yeah, Tim, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Mind yourself.
Yeah, great talking to you, Ray. Take care.